Hi, Blue Wire listeners. I'm Greg Olson. I'm excited to partner with Blue Wire to bring you TE1, a podcast where I interview the tight ends who have revolutionized the position. Listen in as I have raw, in-depth conversations with the all-time greats like Shannon Sharp, Tony Gonzalez, Travis Kelce, and George Kittle. We'll explore how the tight end position has changed over the last 60 years and what it takes to be the very best. Subscribe to TE1 from Blue Wire Studios today so you're ready for the August premiere.
All right, today's podcast is brought to you by Blue Wire, your online wagering experts, and Deodash.fm. We have on Raheel Ramzanali, contributor to ABC 13, who's been a real mentor to me over the years, helped me get my foot in the door of this business. You may recognize him from 1560 The Game and ESPN 975 Houston more recently. And this was a real fun conversation. We get really into the nitty gritty of the Rockets, his Rocket skepticism. He's been a Rocket skeptic his whole life, I would say, or probably more correctly the last 4 years. And we get really into why that skepticism exists. And I hope you guys enjoy the conversation.
Blue Wire.
Russell Westbrook is off to Houston.
It's going to be scary. Not for us.
No! James Harden just caught a body here in Los Angeles.
And Westbrook is on the freeway.
All right, we are back, joined by Raheel Ramzanali, contributor to ABC 13. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing all right. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. So I was listening back to the old episodes of this podcast that aren't publicly available because I removed them all because I was terrible. And I found an episode from November of 2015. That's almost 5 years ago now. That was the last time you were on this podcast. So first of all, did you know you were the first guest on this podcast?
Yeah, I remember doing that interview in my garage at night because you guys recorded at night back then, right?
Yeah.
So I was in my car garage, and also my daughter was just born. So she was really young. So my wife was kind of upset. She's like, you can't talk in the house while she's sleeping. So I had to go in my garage, go in my car. And that was the soundproof studio that I used for your first interview. And man, this podcast has come a long way, and so have you. So I'm proud of everything you've done.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure about the latter part of your statement, but yeah, it was definitely a janky audio setup. And I remember I was using Apple earbuds at the time. I was super nervous. I never interviewed somebody before, so that was new. It's like, I think you were the first person to tell me to do a podcast, because I remember I did not want to do one. Like, I remember being like, I'm a blogger. Nobody wants to listen to me talk. And I was super nervous. I didn't want to talk, and I still don't like talking. But over the years, you've tried to convince me to do a bunch of things I don't want to do. And this is like one of the rare times that I actually listen to you.
See, there you go. Because I'm trying to make you better at your craft. That's why. When you were my intern at ESPN Houston, I made you do a lot of uncomfortable things, because that's the whole point of this, right? Is to leave your comfort zone. Because if you're in your comfort zone the whole time, you're not going to think a certain way. You're only going to think in your comfort zone, right? So you have to experiment. You have to start talking out loud and getting some of these thoughts. Then that translates into your writing as well. So that's been the whole plan with you. And I mean, you and I have had so many arguments and debates regarding everything but basketball in person. So it's only right that we do it on a podcast and talk some hoops.
Exactly. I mean, and I completely agree with your advice about getting out of your comfort zone now, but in hindsight, I did not agree with it. Like, it was in the moment, I was just like, I this is what I do. I do this one select thing, and I'm going to continue doing that. But now I completely agree. I think everybody should start a podcast.
Absolutely.
It's one of those things where if you want to get reps in, especially if you're, I mean, you're going to have to do radio hits at some point, and you got to get used to being comfortable talking to people.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm glad so many other, South Asians are starting their own podcast. You know, that's what it's about, is do it, because we need more people that look like you, more people that look like me, covering the sports, covering other things, politics, entertainment, whatever it may be. And you have to start somewhere, because you can't just go up to a place and go, hey, I want to do a podcast, or I want to be part of your radio station or TV station. They're going to say, well, what's your experience? And well, these podcasts that everyone's starting, and right now is a perfect time because there's a lot of downtime for people. This is where you get your reps, like you mentioned. This is how you get better, right? Nobody's just going to walk into the NBA and go, hey, I'm ready to play. No, you've got to get reps in. You've got to understand little things. And one day you work your way up to something bigger and better.
Although I'll say this, if you're just a public figure and you're bored at home and you really have nothing to do, please don't start a podcast. If you don't have anything to say of substance, I don't want to hear you. Like, it's very clearly a cash grab.
Okay, so who do you hate? Because this is the second time you brought this up with me. Who is it? You got to throw the shade correctly, okay? Come on, who is it? Give me a name.
Okay, so like you see all these YouTube celebrities, right? And they're just randomly popping up out of nowhere. And they're starting these podcasts and they're not interesting at all. Like I enjoy watching them on YouTube. I enjoy watching them on TikTok or whatever the hell they do. But once they try translating that to podcast, that it doesn't work. It doesn't work for everybody.
Yeah, podcast is hard, man, because you're talking for hours, right? If you're doing it, if you're doing a long form podcast, if you're doing a storytelling podcast, you got to edit, you got to do some research. And a lot of people don't like that, you know, so I like that people are trying it. And if they're not good at it, you know, the audience will decide that it, frankly, comes down to that. If they're not good at it, then their audience will eventually stop listening. But you're right. They're trying to get some cash. Everyone is, man.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, if you want to try it, go ahead. I mean, you're ultimately right in that the cream will rise to the top in the end. So
wait, hold on. Which celebrity do you want to listen to? Like, is there a celebrity out there for you that you wish they had a podcast and they don't right now?
Well, if you're opining your opinion in some way already, I think it's natural to go into a podcast. But if you're just like, if you're just famous for doing, like, if you're like a dancer or something, right? Like, if you're not doing something that like requires you to talk or give your opinion, like that to me is like it's just such an uncomfortable transition. Maybe you'll get better at it, right? Like after a few podcasts, maybe you'll get better at it. But if you're just going out there on a limb because you see everybody starting a podcast, that's where it's like, okay, like at least like before you start the podcast, have a rundown, have things you want to talk about, and then start the podcast. Don't just start the podcast with a buddy of yours and be like, you know what, let's just talk for an hour and see if it ends up good. Like that to me is where it ends up bad.
Okay, with that being said, is there a celebrity whose podcast you would listen to? Because I think you would take Vin Diesel, right? Because you're a big Fast and the Furious guy.
Oh my, I would love to listen to The Rock talk for like an hour.
Okay,
like,
The Rock would be a great one.
Yes, because The Rock in general is just an interesting dude, right? Like he has a lot of things going for him, and you can tell that man has a lot of things to talk about for at least like 2 or 3 hours if you really want to. Like there was this thing, I watched a video of him on YouTube. I think he was talking to the Lakers, and he was giving this motivational speech for like half an hour. I was glued. He was talking about how he only had like $7 in his pocket when he came to LA or something like that, and like he started this whole $7 production studio and stuff, and like whatever the hell he was talking about, like I was in for that 30-minute video, and I could hear that I can definitely see him starting a podcast.
Okay, see, I would love a podcast with ball boys from the NBA. And equipment managers, because they have the best stories.
Yeah.
Like, like when I was covering the team on a daily basis, I became really good friends with one of the equipment managers who managed the visiting clubhouse or the locker room, excuse me, Will. I don't know if you remember him or not, but he is awesome. Like, he would just tell me stories about opposing teams and what they thought of the Rockets, because he would be in there while they're game planning and whatnot. So, I would love to hear a podcast while they're not a celebrity, but I think those people that are around the NBA, man, they would have the best stories.
Can I top you one?
Yeah.
So the security guards that are in the arena, like next to the locker room, those guys have seen some, because they're not just there for the NBA. They're there for like every live event that's in that arena, like so WrestleMania, concerts. They've seen some things that the public have not, that they don't have any idea what's going on. And
yeah.
I would love to hear, like, my guy Bill, I would love to hear him on a podcast for, like, an hour.
Absolutely. Those people have the best stories.
For sure. So, before we get to the Rockets, can I ask you an Astros question?
Sure, go for it.
So, is it wrong that for the past 3 years, I've only casually followed the Astros? Like, I didn't watch them during the season. I only watched their big playoff games, but not all of them. But now that everybody hates them for that cheating scandal, I'm all in. Like, I'm actively keeping track of the team now. I follow a bunch of the reporters on Twitter. I try to watch as many games as I can because I have a short attention span. I can't watch all the games. Is it wrong to jump on the Astros bandwagon now?
No, it's not. You know, people got upset in 2017 when the Astros went on that run and won the World Series. and they weren't happy, right? Like, and I dealt with this, right? Because I was doing the radio show back then. I would get calls about this. And I'm very pro bandwagon. Like, the more fans, the better, right? Who cares if you were watching all the 100 lost seasons and you went through the ups and downs? Like, that's your fault, right? Like, not my fault that you have nothing else going on in your life, that you watched a 100 lost team. And I would say this, and people got so upset about that.
Well, that's a little because, mean. I understand them getting angry about it.
Okay, so think about the years when the Astros were not good, right? Because they got good in 2015, and they pushed Kansas City to Game 5, and that was fun and all that. But before then, this is 2014, 13, 12, they were really bad. Like, they were really bad, right?
They were tanking.
So yeah, they were tanking. Like, clearly they wanted to be bad. They were so bad, the best story to come out those 3 years was a snow cone vendor putting his snow cones down in the bathroom. And that was the biggest story. Like, these are facts, right? And this isn't 2001. This isn't when I was in high school. Okay, this is when Netflix was around. This is when you could download shows. You could listen to any song ever created. And people still were like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to watch a really bad team. That's on them. Okay, like, I'm with you. I think baseball is the most boring regular season out there. Like, to me, it's not intriguing. It's not fun. I haven't found anybody, and I work in sports, so do you. Ask people that cover sports, when was the last time you watched a team or watched a baseball game that didn't have your teams involved? Nobody can give me an answer, right? Like, you and I, we can watch Mavericks Lakers on a Tuesday night and be entertained. I'm not watching Pirates against the Reds on a Tuesday night. Like, no, thank you. I have better things to do. So I'm with you. Like, you know what? Jump on the bandwagon. And now that they're the bad guys, that's good. Like, embrace the hate, you know, watch it. Whatever brings you in, that's okay. To me, the whole thing about, oh, hey, I was here first. Okay, loser. Sorry.
Yeah, and it's just fun to root for a team that everybody hates. Like, that's the best. Like, that's sports fandom at its core, right? Like, when nobody believes you can do it, or when everybody doesn't want you to do it and you do it, like, that's the best part of being a sports fan.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why you love James Harden.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Like, that's why I found the Rockets so, like, appealing at first. Like, because everybody will... There is a core of people who follow the NBA that just will not ride with the Rockets at all, mm-hmm. and will root against them at every single turn. That's why I find them so compelling, and that's why I find this Astros team so compelling. Like just their summer in general was just one long drama, and following it along was so tedious. And I was just waiting for the season to start because I want these guys to shut these people the hell up. Right, like, I want them to come out on top and be like, so what? Like, are you going to Astros this championship too? Like, I want them to do it again.
Yeah, I look, a lot of people do, but the one thing that I don't like about Astros fans now is, look, the Astros cheated. Okay, they cheated. There's no denying this. Well, other teams,
this was
going to
be my next question, right? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, like, look, the Astros cheated. Okay, they admitted as such. The report found them to be cheaters and all of that. Right. Were other teams cheating? Yes. The Boston Red Sox got caught. They cheated 2 years in a row, right? But they didn't win the World Series. Although they did in 18, but they didn't find many circumstances that said that they cheated all the way up to the World Series. There were, you know, like, part of that report that Manfred put out, the Astros were supposedly cheating in the playoffs as well. So I get it, right? Astros fans are going to be upset, but we can't whine about every little thing. Like, when there's an account that pops up that is, you know, tweeting about Astros hitters or Astros batters getting hit, we don't have to whine about it. Who cares? Like, let that stuff just slide. Watch the games, root for your team, and don't make every little story into an issue where you complain.
And if I were an Astros fan, like, I mean, if I were an Astros fan from the very beginning, what I would say is they didn't take the championship away. So who cares? Like,
yeah.
Like, it's still there. Like, who cares if people put a mental asterisk on it? It's still hanging in the rafters. Nobody can take that away from you. And if you win another one this year, it would just be that much more gratifying because everybody hates you. Like,
that to me is the best season, part. Let's be honest. Okay, if the Yankees win this, you know, Astros fans are going to be like, okay, you won a 60-game championship, whatever. It's going to happen. Even if the Astros win, we're going to catch it. Like, that's part of it, you know? Because we're going to do the same thing. If our rival wins, we're going to make fun of it. That's what sports is about, so I get it.
Right. I personally don't believe in asterisks in general, but I think the Astros one hits a little deep because of the cheating scandal and because of the whole, like, the trash cans and stuff. It just got a little too animated for me. So I can understand people who kind of look down the Astros a little bit, but at the same time, if I were an Astros fan, I would feed off this. I would take it to heart. I would want my team to win again, and I would still be like, you know what? They didn't take our championship away, so it still counts.
Absolutely. I'm the same way. You know what? Just root for them. And when you, because you look, Cubs fans have gotten in my mentions, Yankees fans, obviously, and all that stuff. And you just argue with them and have fun. And if it gets too aggressive, you just block them or mute them or leave the conversation, right? Like, that's all you can do. What else? You're not going to change their opinion.
Have you ever heard of DealDash.com? It's the best, most honest bidding site where you can win things you'd never expect at a price you'd never believe. There are over 1,000 auctions every day on electronics, appliances, beauty products, home decor, and even cars. Here's how it works. It's like an auction, but every item starts at $0 and only goes up 1 cent every time you bid. The kicker is that the auction clock restarts after just 10 seconds. That means every time you bid, everyone else has 10 seconds to answer or the item is yours. If you go ahead and buy now, Deal Dash is offering our listeners an extra 100 free bids upon sign up, on top of their other discounts. Go to DealDash.com and use offer code REDHOOPS or DealDash.fm/REDHOOPS. That's DealDash.fm/REDHOOPS. All right, so let's talk about the Rockets, because we're 14 minutes deep in this podcast and we have not mentioned them. So as long as I've known you, you've been a Daryl Morey and James Harden, I don't want to say hater, but skeptic. Like, you've been skeptical.
Yes.
Is that a fair characterization?
Absolutely. You can say I hate James Harden, because I have said this on my as well. I don't like James Harden. There's things about him that I don't like, and I can't root for him. Okay, that's a better statement. I don't know the man, but the stories that I've heard, I just don't like the guy, right? And I appreciate what he does on the basketball court. So that's my James Harden thing. With Daryl Morey, I don't hate him. I just think, do you want me to just get into it, or do you want to finish your question? Sorry, I cut you off.
No, this was the question. I want you to expand on it. Yeah.
Okay. So let's start with Daryl Morey real quickly. Okay. When Daryl Morey first got to Houston, he was like, you don't understand how kind of a person he was to me. And I don't dislike him as a person. In fact, Daryl has reached out to me many times, and he's really cool to me. So I don't want this like turn into a Daryl Morey's been mean to me or something like that. My whole thing is Daryl Morey's been here since 2007, right? And within that time frame, each season is different. I understand, but within that time frame, people or the teams in your division have won championships, right? The NBA has changed drastically since 2007. There's ebbs and flows. There's a super team era. Then there was, hey, let's just play really good defense for a bit there. And the Spurs ended up winning and Kawhi flourishes. Then you got the Dallas Mavericks. They went on their run with Dirk, and you know, he did it by himself, right? There was no other superstar with him. There were all-stars, right? Jason Kidd was an all-star. Jason Terry has been an all-star before. Sean Marion was nice, but he was the guy to do it. So then there's like, okay, they did it with one star. And I know you had injuries with Yao and T-Mac, but it seems like every single time the momentum goes your way, something happens, right? And it's not like doubting Daryl Morey as a GM, because he's one of the best in the NBA in all of sports, frankly, because he rebuilds his team and all that, and that's fine. But if I'm an owner, I go, dude, I've had 12 years of data now, right? 13 years of data that suggests that you haven't gotten it done. Other teams have gotten it done within your timeline. The Golden State Warriors, though they did it differently, I understand, right? They tanked, right? They got high picks. They got lottery picks. Les didn't want that. That's fine. They started a dynasty, okay? So within your time frame that you've been there, like, there have been so many different things that happened, and you haven't won one. So I've seen enough. Then from the Daryl point of view, is like, okay, I have so many different restrictions here. Like, hey, I can't tank to get a pick. I can't do this. Then go try it somewhere else and then make me look stupid, right? Make me look dumb that, hey, Raheel, guess what? I did it, right? When I went to a franchise that wanted it run a certain way. So that's my Daryl thing. He's one of the coolest guys. He's awesome. He's always been great. He probably thinks I'm really arrogant, because the first time I met him, we were at a lunch, and this was when I first started working in radio. And we're at a lunch, and this is like a lunch to introduce everyone to each other, right? So it's like Daryl and the entire staff of 1560 The Game, the radio station I used to be at. And over there, he's like, yeah, we're going to do a Rockets media tournament, like a basketball tournament. And without even him, without him finishing, I go, yeah, but we're going to win it. You know me, Salman. Like, if there's one thing I can kind of do okay is play a little basketball. And I knew there's no way some fat media guys are going to slow me down. And I'm 22 years old at the time. Okay, like this is prime, like, physical conditioning.
Okay, so what does that mean? What's prime radio? Like, I watched you playing basketball growing up.
Yeah.
I know how good you were. So you tell me what you thought of yourself as prime.
Wow, someone, wow, how good I was.
No, I'm saying you tell me how good you think you were. Let's start there.
Okay, I think I was very athletic for my size. Like, I could go and
you were
grab
fast.
The
rim. Yeah.
Yeah, I was fast, okay? I used to be able to throw down dunks, like throwing the alley-oop to myself, never in a game because it's impossible because I just never could get it. But I could get up there. I think I was an above-average passer. And I think my defense has gotten a little bit better, but back then I didn't play much defense. I'll be honest.
I mean, you were 22. It's fine.
Yeah. Like, I was like, I got better things to do. Like, you know, get buckets. So,
right.
It's like, let somebody else play defense. I let David Nuno play defense. Okay. That was his job.
Right. So you're at the lunch and you tell him you're going to win this tournament.
Yeah. And I said, look, Daryl, we're going to win this tournament. And so John Granato, my old co-host, said that I had a Kobe jersey on. I don't remember this, okay? I truly don't remember this. I probably did. Okay?
It sounds like you, yeah.
Right? And he said, I wore a Kobe jersey to this lunch. And I was like, there's no way I did that. But he doesn't make up stuff, right? So I'm sure Daryl was already like, why is this guy wearing a Lakers jersey to a lunch to talk about the Rockets, right? But yeah, we ended up winning 4 in a row. Fast forward, we ended up winning, and I won Most Valuable Player 3 times. I should have won it my first year as well, but because I was so new to the media scene, they didn't want to, you know, they gave it to the losing team, one of their players who had like 2 points in the finals. But, you know, I don't hold grudges.
Yeah, you clearly haven't taken that to heart.
No, I clearly don't remember the stats from a Rockets 3-on-3 media tournament.
Yeah. By the way, why don't the Rockets do this anymore? This sounds like a crap load of fun. I don't know why they're not doing this anymore.
Dude, it is the coolest thing. You go on the practice court. They were supposed to do it on the main floor, but I think they had liability issues. So they do it on the practice court, and
so
it is
the blacktop.
Fun.
Or are you talking about the practice court?
No, the basement court, the actual practice
right,
court.
Right, right, right. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So you do it in there. It's all, you know, like you got the NBA balls. So 1 year, Yao Ming started watching us. Like, Yao just rolled up after, I guess he was doing some rehab or something, and he just, like, was hanging out watching us play. 1 year, I played against Calvin Murphy. I played against Clyde Drexler. It's the most fun you have, man. And then you get to play against other media members that you see all the time. And, you know, like, you make friendships from that because when you start playing sports against one another, you become better friends. So I don't know why they stopped. I'm not sure. So the last year I played in was the year we lost in the finals to the Chinese media team and Andy Yao. Did you ever meet Andy Yao?
No, I haven't.
Okay, Andy Yao is the coolest dude, man. Great guy. Awesome post game. But we lost to them, and then they never did it again after that.
Yeah, that's strange. That sounds like a great way to get to know your media pals, right? Like you're in the doghouse with them every single day. It would be nice to have some sort of event like that again.
Yeah.
And playing on that practice course just seems like a load of fun. Like, because that practice court is clean. Like
it is.
They keep that thing in pristine condition.
Dude, it's so awesome.
Right. Like it just sounds like so much fun. I would love to do it if they bring that back.
Yeah.
So ever since then, you've had this skepticism because your perception is they haven't won anything and they've had this much time to do it.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, like I was a Daryl Morey backer, right? And this recently started, and it was really after when James, they brought Chris Paul over and it didn't work out. and that was fine. Like, dude, it didn't work out. The hamstring didn't work out.
Okay. All right. I'm glad you mentioned the hamstring, because when you say it didn't work out, I'm like, they won 65 games and they almost did it, right?
Yeah. But it didn't work out. The ultimate goal was to win an NBA championship, not get to the NBA finals, not just say, hey, we got there and yay. No, it was to win it. And it didn't work out, unfortunately. But, and this goes back to it, like, Daryl gets it, right? Like, hey, we're going to try this out. But when you look at the history of Chris Paul, who I love, like, I love his game. I love everything he does, what he stands for, all that. But he has a history. As he goes deeper in the NBA playoffs, he has issues. Same thing that happened against the Rockets when he was on the Clippers. His hamstring, guess what happened? When they got that deep, his hamstring went out, right? He had hamstring issues.
Against the Spurs, his hamstring, I mean, he was playing on one leg. That was what was so impressive about that series.
And it was so crazy. They end up winning that series. Yeah. And guess what? Progressively, it got worse. Like, it sucks, man. When you have an injury history, as you get deeper, you break down. And you took a gamble, and it didn't work out. And guess what happened? Your hamstring went out. Like, you know, and it's like, that's the risk you took. And it didn't work out. Then going into the next year, you know, the Carmelo signing, you just never got right, but you kind of fixed the team and the buyout market. And then Kevin Durant goes down and you just did, you know, whatever happened, Steph Curry takes off in the second half. And
they should have won that series, right?
They should have won that series. Yeah. Like, there's no excuse.
Yeah.
Right. There's no excuse. And guess what happened? It didn't work out again. Right. Hey, going back to after you lost to the Golden State Warriors the first time, in a hell of a playoff run, right? Like, that was a badass playoff run. I was invested in that team. When they came back in game six, it was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. I didn't even hate on James Harden then. Like, I was just like, hey, I don't care how it got done. You got it done. And I remember texting your dad. I was like, unfortunately, this probably means Kevin McHale's back for one more year, right? Like, that was one of the downfalls of winning that, getting to the Western Conference Finals. You don't win that series. And then you bring in Ty Lawson.
Yeah.
Like, and guess what? A guy, again, with the history, you're telling me a dude.
There's a theme here. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, guess what happened? He flamed out. Yeah. Right. And it was really bad. Right. It didn't work out. So it's like those kind of moves, you go, man, it doesn't make sense. And, you know, if you're as good as everyone says you are, then go somewhere else. Go try it out. Go try it. See what happens. You know, so and look, I think unfairly, though, like, I think Boston's doing a good job. Boston hasn't won anything, right, with their new core. Now, they still have a lot of years in front of them, and Brad Stevens is awesome, and they've drafted correctly, it looks like. But if they don't get it done, guess what? We're going to be critical of Boston as well. So, you know, that's just part of it. It's been 12 years, 13 years.
Yeah, so the one through line that I agree with you, like, first of all, like, I do think Daryl Morey is as good as they say, right? Like I think you're a little more skeptical of that than I am, but I do believe in his abilities. I think if he does go somewhere else, like, first of all, I think if he gets fired here, he's gonna be highly sought after by several teams, right? His market value is that high. But the one through line that I agree with you, the one criticism that I agree with you, like, that's fair of Daryl. He makes calculated risks. And sometimes they can blow up in your wrist, blow up in your face. Like, that's the one thing about calculated risks like that, is they have a tendency to not work out when everything else does, right? And that's like the thing with Chris Paul. It's like, it worked out throughout the entire season until the final moments and when you really needed him, right? And the Ty Lawson thing, like, that was the ultimate calculated risk. Like, even Daryl knew it was a calculated risk, because they non-guaranteed the last year of his deal. Like, that's unheard of. He had $11 million left, and he made that non-guaranteed to join the Rockets, because Daryl was like, this could blow up in our face. Let's protect ourselves. So I think even Daryl knows that he takes calculated risks. I think that's the fair criticism. I do think, you know, the Chris Paul thing, like, I almost count that year as a half championship, because they did everything right up until that moment. Something out of his control happened for them to not win it.
Sure. And that's fine. And again, look, if they get to the NBA Finals against LeBron, who, I think we always forget this. I know the J.R. Smith meme is what we remember from that Finals, but LeBron was a beast in that series. And I guess PJ is guarding him. I guess Ariza's guarding him, that, you know, and that's hoping Chris Paul doesn't get hurt in the finals either, right? Like, let's say the hamstring doesn't happen. They get to the finals. I don't think it's a lock that they win the finals, by the way. because they were built to beat one team. That was built to beat the Warriors. And I get it, the Warriors are the best team, and you beat them, and they beat the Cavs, so you play the deductive reasoning there, and you go the Rockets are the one. I don't think it's a lock, but it would have been fun to watch.
They would have been the favorites, though. I think that
slight favorites. I think there would have been slight favorites.
That Cavs team was pretty haggardly. Like that Cavs team, like, got to the finals, yes, right. But it wasn't the strongest of LeBron's teams.
I agree, but LeBron also game one had 55 points.
Yeah, he was great.
Unstoppable that series. I think, look, if J.R. Smith doesn't make that error and they win game one, they're probably not beating the Warriors, but man, they're giving them a series. It's not a sweep.
Yeah, that series would have been much more competitive. Right.
It's not a sweep. They win one game at least, but man, yeah. It would have been fun to watch the Rockets and Cavs.
Yeah, I think it would have been a good series. I think ultimately, mm-hmm. if you were to go back in time, I think the predictions would have been pretty heavily favored in favor of the Rockets.
Absolutely.
So, because I haven't talked to you this year, how did you feel about the Westbrook trade?
I loved it. I love it. I think you know this. Like, I watched Oklahoma City games just to watch Westbrook.
Yeah.
After Durant left, it became a James Harden versus Westbrook thing, right? The triple doubles against the incredible stats that James Harden was putting up, and you know, Westbrook only won 41 games that year, like with a squad that was really bad. It was unheard of that they even made the playoffs, and he single handedly willed them there. Steven Adams
and Victor Oladipo. This is Victor Oladipo before Indiana, right?
Yeah.
Right. And I think that team, if Westbrook takes a little bit more of a backseat, I think some of the supporting cast flourishes a little bit more. I think Westbrook has to take some responsibility there.
So what do you mean, like less shots?
Yes. So basically less usage.
Because Oladipo, that you're watching those games, he's not the Oladipo, like you said, that we know him now, right? And maybe he takes that step if he gets more shots. But I don't have a computer in front of me. You could look it up. If I recall right, I think Oladipo averaged like 13 to 14 points a game, and he was taking double-digit shots. And it's just he wasn't that good of a shooter, frankly. If I recall correctly, you can correct me. But that team, like, it wasn't that good, okay? He got him to 41 wins, averaged a triple-double and all of that stuff. It was just fun to watch a guy go on a big FU tour, and that's what he did. Like, it was so much fun to watch. And I just like his tenacity. I think he has obvious flaws in his game, right? And I think he'll be the first to admit it. But what he brings to the table every single night, just relentless on offense. And I think his defense can get a lot better as well. I just love it. And when they traded for him, I loved it. I love the move because I think it could work, right? Like, it's the same thing with Chris Paul. He's not as good of a shooter as Chris Paul is, but he brings a mid-range game and an attack to the hoop off the ball that James doesn't have, right? And now you've got two weapons out there, and you just hope that guys around you can hit some shots. And Daryl's done a good job of finding some of those guys that can hopefully hit some of these shots. So I loved the move. Like, you just got way more athletic, and I'll take my chances with two superstars and whatever's around you.
Sports are coming back, and so are your chances to bet on your favorite teams and events. Major League Baseball is finally kicking off this week, and there's no better place to start wagering than our exclusive partners, BetOnline. Check out all the odds, futures, and props to bet on, all available 24/7. And with the return to sports, BetOnline sat down with former pro players Eddie George, Harold Reynolds, and 7-time NBA champ Robert Horry. See what they had to say on what it'll be like playing without fans in a series they're calling Fandemic. Visit betonline.ag for all your odds and up-to-date sports news. Remember, use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus. That's promo code BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. So I understood why they made the trade in the sense that, yes, he does add an athletic component and a fast-break component that they just didn't have before. Like, that didn't exist. They were playing slow. They were playing at a measured pace with Chris Paul, and Westbrook adds some chaos that I think a lot of people say they might have needed, right? They needed to spruce some things up.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that. He also adds to their timeline. Like Chris Paul was, I mean, he's having a fantastic year right now, but at age 35, you can only have so many good years left. So I think Westbrook adds to that timeline a little bit. At the same time, If it were me, I don't think I would have made the trade, because I think Chris Paul just gives you, just in the first 2 years, right? Like this year and next year, I think Chris Paul gives you a higher ceiling with James Harden than Westbrook does.
I'm with that. I agree. Chris Paul had a bad year, his final year with the Rockets. He didn't look right. He couldn't get by anybody. And he looks different. Like, it looks like he worked on a lot of things in the offseason. And when you're traded, you know, when you're traded from a team, you want to prove people wrong. So there is that element. But I think on the personal level, there were some issues with Harden and Chris Paul.
Yeah.
And that is a big deal. Look, James has always had it his way or the highway here, right? Like, how many coups have there been, right? Kevin McHale's gone, right? Dwight's gone. Parsons is gone. So there's always going to be little things with James. But heck, if you're the franchise, you're the best player, right? You regard him as a top seven guy, top five guy, top three guy, whatever. The franchise has made it clear that he's the guy and it's going to be his way. The star always wins in the NBA. So I think there was more to that Chris Paul trade than just the basketball.
Yeah, and a lot of that happened so quickly. Like, even the media was kind of stunned by how quickly their relationship fell apart. Like I was in the locker room every day. Like, it seemed like they were fine up until that final game, and Chris Paul did the final press conference by himself. And I guess in hindsight, that should have been a little bit of a red flag, but in the moment, it wasn't. Like, because Chris Paul had that blow up with the media the day before where nobody asked him a question, right? So it was just assumed that, oh, he's going up there by himself so he can get all the questions. But it was, there was definitely more to it. There was a confrontation there. There was some sort of altercation in the locker room, a verbal altercation of some sort that we didn't hear about until the season was well gone.
Yep, agreed. And you remember the first year, like, after games, they were so friendly, and just even on the court, like, watching them, Chris Paul demands a lot out of players. That's who he is, right?
Yeah.
He's going to be verbal. He's going to get in your face. He doesn't care if you're James Harden or if you're Austin Rivers. It doesn't matter. He's going to tell you, like, hey, dude, you missed that switch or you missed that assignment there, whatever it is. And he's not going to be shy about it. Some people don't like that management style. Some people don't like it, especially if you are the alpha, right? And I could see why it didn't work out. Westbrook is different. Westbrook is, he's a lot like James, in my opinion, where, you know, he's like, hey, I'm going to play basketball. I'm going to do it. Don't get in my face in certain ways, right? Like, you don't see PJ getting in Westbrook's face. And Westbrook, as much as I love him, he has defensive flaws as well.
Yeah.
Like, he's not a good team defender as much as other stars are, right? So, You don't see people getting in his face, right? Because I think they understand, like, hey, here's how certain people like to get managed, and here's how they like to be communicated with. And James probably just got over it. You know, like, it gets old after a while. Being a guy who yells at people on the court, it gets old, right? Like, I know people I play with, like, hey, you know, I don't like it when you yell at me. You're like, well, I expect more of you, right? And Chris Paul does that. Like, you can see him doing that now with the Thunder. So that's why I think that relationship kind of just got old.
Yeah, and I could see how Chris Paul could be a little grating after a few years. Like, that definitely happened in L.A. Like, that was definitely a factor with the deterioration with those relationships in L.A. with DeAndre and Blake. That was definitely a factor that I think led to the demise of that Clippers team, which I thought was a good enough team to win the NBA championship. Like, I'll defend that Clippers team till I die. Like, that Clippers team was awesome. It just, there was a personal dynamic behind the scenes that I think led to their breakup.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, when Josh Smith kills you for what he did in that run in game six.
It's, and you, like, sign him the next year.
Yeah, and then he does not pan out. You're like, man, this does not work out. I think it's time to call it quits. Like, I get that as well. But, you know, the dynamic between Westbrook and Harden, unfortunately, like, the defense between both guys, and I get it, like, James Harden's not a great on-ball defender, and I know in the post he's great, he's the greatest defender we've ever seen for five possessions a game. It's awesome, Salman. I get it, you don't have to bring up the stats for me. My biggest flaw with James and even Russell is they never just make that extra effort on defense sometimes. You know, it's like, okay, a guy got by me, all right, you know what, we're gonna get the ball back. And I think that starts from the top, man. It does start with, look, our whole game plan is we're going to get you offensively, and that's fine.
Well,
it works.
You're making me out to be some sort of James Harden apologist. I'm not out here like posting these post statistics. All right, that those are other people. All right, I fully understand the warts he has on defense.
No, that's my favorite thing when you know, and this started with the Rockets, right? And look, this I didn't even get to this whole the book report that they put out after was a game seven, the fouls, and we should have won this game, and it should have resulted in this many points. And it's like, you went 0-27 during a stretch. I'm sorry. Like, that's not the referee's fault. I went back and watched those. Those were wide open threes. You missed them. Sometimes that happens. Like, you missed them, man. Like, it was a historic shooting slump. And they were in that game. They could have won that game seven without Chris Paul. They could have won it. If they hit four of those three-pointers, it's probably a different game. So the book report, then that comes out. And you're like, man. It, like every single time the Rockets try to spin it, right? And one of the things that they started to do is the James Harden post defense. It's the greatest post defender, right? It starts with the top. Those stats get leaked and brought up and it gets put on the broadcast. And then all of a sudden, you know, there's Rockets diehards on Twitter that will run with that, you know, media and fans. And it's like, okay, but do you guys understand like being the greatest post defender of all time in an era when there's no post basketball? And James is in the post for like maybe five possessions. That's really not a good thing.
Well, I think with the way the Rockets play now with the small ball element and teams trying to post them up, I think it potentially could be more valuable because you see this every game now. Like teams try to post up Harden and Westbrook because they're just small. Like you're going to post up the smaller guy. That's just a natural basketball thing to do. And you see it. And five possessions a game, like you say that kind of dismissingly, that's a lot of possessions. Not
with the Rockets, though. And not with most of the NBA now, when you're pushing tempo, right? It happens. Yeah, I agree. Like, it's good to get those five stops, or it's good to get, you know, three out of five stops, absolutely. But it's not helping me understand why that makes James a better defender.
Oh, no. That's not what I'm saying, for sure.
This is just my gripe about that stat. That became so popular about a year ago.
Right. So what about the Clint Capella for Robert Covington trade? Like, how'd you feel about Houston leaning into micro ball?
I love it. Like, hey, we're going all in on this. It didn't work out. Capella was rendered useless, unfortunately, in certain matchups, right? He's a great guy to have in an era where you are running nonstop pick and rolls that result in interior baskets. That's not what the Rockets want to do. Like off the pick and roll, they want shots on the outside, right? So he was deemed useless in a system that doesn't need him, and I understand that. Especially with Westbrook, you have a guy who's one of the best drivers in the game, and now you have another guy down there clogging it up, and his defender's closer to stop Russell. Like, I understand that, man. And then look, Covington is a guy, and I'm biased here, right? Like, I spent a day with him. Watching him train, working out at with one of my friends, Jay Sataria, at his place. And the way, like, his work ethic is second to none. He understands what's at stake here. He has the tools to really open up this offense, right? When he's hitting his shot, we saw this yesterday against Memphis. You know, immediately hits that right arc three, and the defense has to react to that. And that opens up the floor for anybody else to drive. And I love it, man. You got to space it out. You have two elite drivers. When Austin Rivers is back, he's a really good driver. You need space, and Covington provides that. And I think the one thing with Covington that's going to be important here is the defense. You're going to give up buckets, but can you switch and get some perimeter stops? And I think he has the lateral quickness to do it, and this could work out for them.
Yeah, and Covington in particular, like he's like going back to Trevor Ariza, like he was like a B+, B- in what the Rockets were asking him to do for him. Mm-hmm. Covington's like an A-. Like, that guy is just a monster defensively.
Yeah.
He the length he has on the perimeter, the amount of like possessions that he forces to go the other way, like the ball will go one way on the perimeter and they see Covington in the lane, it'll rotate back the other way. You see this every single game. You'll see the ball rotate back around the other way every single game. And it's unheard of for the Rockets in terms of the perimeter defenders. The only other guy to do that is like PJ Tucker. So it's really helpful to have them out there for that. Have you watched any of these scrimmages, by the way?
Oh yeah, I watched all of them, man. Dude, you know I'm jonesing for hoops, man. I was I've been watching as much as I can. I watch the Rockets, obviously, but I've been trying to watch the other teams as well and just kind of see how they're looking, you know, conditioning wise, and what are they going to change up. And look, with the Rockets yesterday, Memphis in the third quarter, they went on the run. They took the lead. And I think the Rockets are going to have issues with younger teams, but I don't think the playoff bracket is going to break down where they're going to face younger teams. Like, Memphis is a scary team because they got athletic guys that can do everything, right? Like John Morant's not, he'll take 2 threes a game, I believe, and he's okay as a shooter, but Brooks is a really good shooter. I think Anderson's a good shooter. They've got good big guys inside. They just didn't match up that well against them in that third quarter. Like, and that's going to happen. The Rockets aren't as young of a team, so you're going to lose some matches. But what decided the game against Memphis yesterday was the Rockets hit their shots under 5 minutes. That was it. Like, stops are great, but when you hit 2 3-pointers, then you get another bucket, it's an 8-point lead. Like, that's it. When you hit your shots, that's it. You know, so it comes down to it. Like, you and I can talk about defense all day long. I can be a stickler about it and all that stuff. If they get a stop and hit 2 threes, under 5 minutes, that's it right there.
So we started this podcast talking about how you were a Rocket skeptic for the past 4 years. Let me tell you why I'm a Rocket skeptic this year.
Okay, tell me.
So in general, one of the benefits to playing small ball is, like, you're much better playing in transition, especially defensively, because you're not lugging around a 7-footer, right?
Yeah.
So, like, the teams that have found the most success with small ball, particularly the Warriors, like, were really good transition defense teams. But the Rockets, and I wrote about this after their first scrimmage, aren't getting that benefit. Like, during the season, they were a bottom 10 transition defense. Like, Robert Covington and PJ Tucker are both good defenders, but when I watch them, I can't help but feeling like they need one more good perimeter defender to make this work at an elite level. Like, their offense is going to be good because they have Harden, Westbrook, and a floor spaced. But for this to work, like, they need good perimeter defenders everywhere, and I feel like they have two or three, depending on how Daniel House is defending on a given night. But to become like a top 10 defense in the playoffs, which they're going to need to beat some of these LA teams or the Bucks, like, I think they need at least one more guy to step up for them defensively. Maybe that's Daniel House. Maybe that's Eric Gordon. Maybe that's Austin Rivers. Maybe that's Luke Mbamute, who they just signed. I don't know. But it has to come from somewhere else. Right now, I just look at them defensively, and I'm like, this is not good enough.
I'm with you. And like, they started, right, the whole scrimmage, or not the scrimmage, but the entire quarantine, the bubble experience, with the first media availability. PJ Tucker spent a lot of time sending out a really loud message to certain players on the team about communication on defense. And they have so many issues communicating, even in a bubble. Like, yesterday, there were a handful of moments in the third quarter again, where in transition, Memphis is coming down, and I forgot who had the ball. I think it was Brooks who had the ball. And PJ's telling, I think it was House or Jeff Green, I forget. He's telling one guy to switch over, and he's like, I thought you were going to get him. And it's like wide open layups. And you go, again, this cannot be happening. There's no excuse now. There's no crowd noise or nothing. It's just listen to your teammates, trust your teammates, and step up and play and make the effort. Because you're right, Covington and PJ Tucker can't do it all on their own because of that, of the switches that they'll see, of the matchups that they're going to run into with the restart and in the playoffs. Guys are going to have to be smart about this, and you're going to have to send switches at the right time. You're going to have to send double teams at the right time and be sharp about it, because that's it. There's no more. You're not adding a third guy, another defender. And, you know, with Eric Gordon, I remember him being a really good defender when he first got here. And it's like, now he's not as much. He just doesn't look the same laterally. He's not shooting the ball, which hurts as great either. But, man, he used to be a really good defender and at least put an effort out there.
He shut down Donovan Mitchell in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, he was a beast. And it's just not there. And look, he's older. He's 2 years older as well. So I get that. But, I'm with you on that criticism. I think their defense, look, Westbrook and Harden, they're not good team defenders. I love Westbrook. He's not. Like, he has issues as well. And when you put two guys out there, that's your starting lineup, right?
Yeah.
You can't counter that with two good defenders. Like, you need everyone to be on board and make the right plays and be right on defense. And, you know, the Rockets, they'll counter with, that's fine. You know what? Get stops under 3 minutes, under 5 minutes when it matters. Get those stops. You can, whatever happens the rest of the game, hey, we're at this point now. Just get the stops when it matters. And if they can do that, you're right. Offensively, they're as good as anybody. So can they get those big stops?
Yeah, and having two bad defenders out there, like, that's like the watermark, right? Like, that's what you, that's the bare minimum. Like, you can't go beyond that. You need the other three guys to step up and be, like, really good defensively to make up for that, right? And going back to Eric Gordon, like, Mike D'Antoni's been pretty adamant. Like, Eric Gordon's going to start. Like, that's done. Like, fans getting angry about that on Twitter, like, that's not going to change his mind. He's already made up his mind. Eric Gordon's going to be the starting small forward for this team. So if he's going to make up for that, he has to be much better, especially in transition defensively. Like, he needs to run his back as soon as the shot hits the rim. And you're just not seeing that right now. And if it's not going to work for him as a starter, like, I guess Daniel House comes in and does that. But again, this is a guy in the playoffs who was not good for you last year in the playoffs, Daniel House, right?
Yeah, he never got going either. You know, and that's D'Antoni. The other criticism with D'Antoni is, are you gonna let him play and fail in the playoffs? Like, it's okay if he misses a shot. It's okay if he misses an assignment. You know what? Everyone else on your team is doing it. Let him learn. It's okay. You don't have to just yank him. That ruins a kid's confidence. And you know, I was hoping to see more of Daniel House last year, but it didn't happen. And it, you know, it's like he missed one shot, and he literally blew one assignment, and that was it for him.
Yeah.
It's like, well, dude, you know, it's like, come on.
Yeah, for sure. And again, that's easier said than done. That's a really hard trait to have. Like, that's what made Greg Popovich so good over the past 20 years, right? Like, he let young players make mistakes and kept them in the game, right? And throughout the year, the Spurs would rest so many of their veteran guys that they would have to play heavy minutes, like these young guys, and they would get used to these moments. And when playoff time came around, like, Greg Popovich felt comfortable bringing in these guys to play these minutes. And Mike D'Antoni doesn't do that. Rest days don't exist in Houston, right? Like, like that. That's something that if you're a young guy on this team, you have to play when you're called upon. You have to step up and play well when you're called upon. And when you don't, like, you get the rug yanked out from under you, right?
Yeah, I think the best quote I've seen regarding this was Gilbert Arenas. He had this quote on Twitter. I don't know if you remember seeing this, but he said, "You know what's scarier than a pit bull that's chained? An unchained pit bull," right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the best quote, right? You want your players to not feel like they have a leash on them, right? Like, you make a mistake, guess what? You're going back inside, right? If you're a dog, like, no, go, like, be a scary dog, be that guy, and don't worry about it. You don't have a leash on you. Don't worry about it. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to blow some assignments, but you're good. You don't have a leash on you. Play your game. That's the whole point. Like, basketball, for the most point, man, you're going to make mistakes. Right. There's no perfect games in basketball. There's perfect games in baseball. That's it. You're going to make mistakes. But if a coach can hang tight and allow that player to learn from those mistakes, it's going to add to his bench. It's going to add to his team, because now you're a deep team. So you're right. Like, Popovich is the best example, right? Kyle Anderson. What? And now he's getting major minutes for Memphis. It's because he had the chance to, one, play in a system and play under a coaching staff that is like, cool, you can make mistakes and get better. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. You had me a little worried there when you were about to quote Gilbert Arenas, because that guy has been saying a lot of problematic stuff over the past year.
No, basketball only.
Okay. All right. Do you have anything to plug, and where can we follow you on Twitter?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter @the_Raheel. You can follow me on Instagram @Raheel doing things. My meme game is pretty tight. So if you want some Houston memes, I got you. And then you can listen to my podcast. It's just The Raheel Show on Apple. If you search my name, R-A-H-E-E-L, pretty much anywhere, I'll be the only one that comes up. There is a conservative author out there. She comes up now a little bit more, but I think I've taken over her. I've overtaken her title, so I think I'm the most popular Raheel on all platforms. So you'll find me.
Yeah,
I'm serious. There's a conservative.
I mean,
author.
I believe you. I believe you. Yeah. I mean, well, listen, everybody listen to this podcast. give Raheel 5 stars so we can pass up that conservative author on iTunes. Make sure to follow him on Twitter. Yeah, tweet him any meme you find throughout the season. And yeah, guys, thank you so much for doing this, Rayo.
Yeah, what's your prediction? Have you already teased it on your podcast? Who's winning it?
The Clippers. Yeah.
Ooh, I like it.
I love this Clippers team.
Me too.
Every time I watch them, I fall more in love with them. Their rosters, they have Jamichael Green as like their ninth or tenth guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that team is deep. But yeah, I'm gonna let you go. Sounds like you got a lot going around in the background there. Thank you so much for doing this.
All right. Thank you, man. I'll talk to you later.
For sure. All right. I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. Give us 5 stars because it helps other people find the show. All right, guys. Good night.